Welcome to Day 8 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are reading from the Amplified Bible, Job chapter 17 through the end of Job chapter 20. So we'll begin at verse 1 of Job 17 in the Amplified Translation. My spirit is broken. My days are spent, snuffed out. The grave is ready for me. Surely there are mockers and mockery around me, and my eye dwells on their obstinacy, insults, and resistance. Give me a pledge with yourself. Acknowledge my innocence before my death. Who is there that will give security for me? But their hearts, Lord, you have closed to understanding. Therefore, you will not let them triumph by giving them a verdict against me. He who denounces his friends in order to make them a prey and get a snare, the eyes of his children shall fail to find food. But he has made me a byword among the people, and they spit before my face. My eye has grown dim because of grief, and all my members are wasted away like a shadow. Upright men shall be astonished and appalled at this, and the innocent shall stir himself up against the godless and polluted. Yet shall the righteous, those upright and in right standing with God, hold to their ways, and he who has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. But as for you, come on again, all of you, though I find not a wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes and plans are frustrated, even the thoughts, desires, and possessions of my heart are broken off. These thoughts extend from the night into the day, so that the light is short because of darkness. But if I look to Sheol, the unseen state, as my abode, if I spread my couch in the darkness, if I say to the grave and corruption, you are my father, and to the worm that feeds on decay, you are my mother and my sister, because I will soon be closest to you. Where then is my hope? And if I have hope, who will see it? Its fulfillment. My hope shall go down to the bars of Sheol, the unseen state, when once there is rest in the dust. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered, chapter 18, how long will you lay snares for words and have to hunt for your argument? Do some clear thinking, and then we will reply. Why are we counted as beasts, as if we had no sense? Why are we unclean in your sight? You who tear yourself in your anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you, or the rock be removed out of its place? Yes, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the flame of his fire shall not shine. The light will be dark in his dwelling, and his lamp beside him shall be put out. The steps of his strength shall be shortened, and his own counsel and the plans in which he trusted shall bring about his downfall. For the wicked is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks upon a lattice-covered pit. A trap will catch him by the heel, and a snare will lay hold on him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall chase him at his heels. The strength of the wicked shall be hunger-bitten, and calamity is ready at his side if he halts. By disease his strength and his skin shall be devoured. The firstborn of death, the worst of diseases, shall consume his limbs. He shall be rooted out of his dwelling place in which he trusted, and he shall be brought to the king of terrors, death. There shall dwell in his tent that which is none of his family. Sulfur shall be scattered over his dwelling to purify it after his going. The roots of the wicked shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off and wither. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be thrust from light into darkness and driven out of the world. He shall neither have son nor grandson among his people, nor any remaining where he sojourned. They of the west that come after the wicked man shall be astonished and appalled at his day, as they of the east that went before were seized with horror. Surely Such are the dwellings of the ungodly, and such is the place of him who knows not, recognizes and honors not God. Chapter 19. Then Job answered, "How long will you vex and torment me and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you make yourselves strange, harden yourselves against me, and deal severely with me. And if it were true that I have erred, my error would remain with me. I would be conscious of it. If indeed you magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach and humiliation, know that God has overthrown and put me in the wrong and has closed his net about me. Behold, I cry out, 'Violence!' but I am not heard. I cry aloud for help, but there is no justice. He has walled up my way so that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness upon my paths. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He has broken me down on every side, and I am gone. My hope has he pulled up like a tree. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his adversaries. His troops come together and cast up their way, and siege works against me and encamp round about my tent. He has put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintances are wholly estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed me, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Those who live temporarily in my house and my maids count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call to my servant, but he gives me no answer, though I beseech him with words. I am repulsive to my wife and loathsome to the children of my own mother. Even young children despise me. When I get up, they speak against me. All the men of my council and my familiar friends abhor me. Those whom I loved are turned against me. My bone clings to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped with the skin or gums of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me, O you, my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you, as if you were God, pursue and persecute me? Acting like wild beasts, why are you not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that the words I now speak were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, carved on a tablet of stone, that with an iron pen and molten lead they were graven in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer and Vindicator lives, and at last he, the last one, will stand upon the earth. And after my skin, even this body has been destroyed, then from my flesh or without it, I shall see God, whom I, even I, shall see for myself and on my side, and my eyes shall behold him, and not as a stranger. My heart pines away and is consumed within me. If you say, 'How will we pursue him?' and continue to persecute me with the claim that the root cause of all these afflictions is found in me, then beware and be afraid of the sword of divine vengeance, for wrathful are the punishments of that sword, that you may know there is a judgment." Chapter 20. Then Zophar the Naamathite answered, "Therefore do my thoughts give me an answer, and I make haste to offer it for this reason. I have heard the reproof which puts me to shame, but out of my understanding my spirit answers me. Do you not know from of old, since the time that man was placed on the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the godless and defiled is but for a moment? Though his proud height mounts up to the heavens, and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever, like his own dung. Those who have seen him will say, 'Where is he?' He will fly away like a dream and will not be found. Yes, he will be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye which saw him will see him no more. neither will his accustomed place any more behold him. The poor will oppress his children, and his hands will give back his ill-gotten wealth. His bones are full of youthful energy, but it will lie down with him in the dust. Though wickedness is sweet in his mouth, though he hides it under his tongue, though he is loath to let it go, but keeps it still within his mouth, yet his food turns to poison in his stomach. It is the venom of asps within him. He has swallowed down his ill-gotten riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God will cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asps, which ill-gotten wealth contains. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not look upon the rivers, the flowing streams of honey and butter, to enjoy his wealth. That which he labored for shall he give back, and shall not swallow it down to enjoy it. According to his wealth shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice in it. For he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently taken away a house which he did not build. Because his desire and greed knew no quietness within him, he will not save anything of that in which he delights. There was nothing left that he did not devour. Therefore his prosperity will not endure. In the fullness of his sufficiency, in the time of his great abundance, he shall be poor and in straits. Every hand of every one who is in misery shall come upon him. He is but a wretch on every side. When he is about to fill his belly, as in the wilderness when God sent the quails, God will cast the fierceness of his wrath upon him and will rain it upon him while he is eating. He will flee from the iron weapon, but the bow of bronze shall strike him through. The arrow is drawn forth, and it comes out after passing through his body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his gall. Terrors march in upon him. Every misfortune is laid up for his treasures. A fire not blown by man shall devour him. It shall consume what is left in his tent, and it shall go ill with him who remains there. The heavens shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The produce and increase of his house will go into exile with the victors, dragged away in the day of God's wrath. This is the wicked man's portion from God, and the heritage appointed to him by God. This is the end of today's reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to talk to you about the sin of wrong judgment. We find this happening in the book of Job, where Job's friends, supposed friends, come and instead of comforting him, they are trying to expose the reason for his suffering, and their bottom line assessment of his situation is that he must have some hidden sin in his life. And we know that Job is suffering terribly. He's suffering physically in horrible pain. He just had the loss of his children, his complete and total loss of his finances, and he feels like he's ready to die. We heard him say, "The grave is like ready for me." So we know that the man is just suffering terribly, and then he has these supposed people who are supposedly his friends, giving him the reasons for why it's all happening to him. And they basically tell him, God's judging you for your hidden sin. You may have looked real good on the outside for a season, but the truth is, and Zophar, the Naamathite in chapter 20 said this, which was a horrible accusation against Job that was completely and totally untrue, but he made this judgment about Job based on what he could see with his eyes. He saw a man who in his mind was being judged by God, and that the suffering he's experiencing must be a result of judgment against some sin in his life, which again was completely and totally erroneous and without any foundation whatsoever. But that's the judgment that he came to, and he was sure as could be. This man, Zophar, was so sure he was right. And this is what happens when we make judgments about people and their circumstances. But listen to what Zophar said about him. He says, he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently taken away a house which he did not build. Because his desire and greed knew no quietness within him, he will not save anything of that which he delights. So basically, he's saying it's because you were greedy and you were violent and you oppressed the poor and you never took care of the poor. And this was totally untrue about Job's character. But Zophar, like his other two friends, completely came to the conclusion and the judgment that this man has sinned, and here's the judgment he's receiving from God. There must be hidden sin in his life. There must be wickedness that he's hidden all these years. And this is the result. This terrible calamity that he's facing right now is a direct result of some hidden wickedness, which they didn't see prior to this. And that was the judgment that Job's friends came to about Job. They passed judgment on him. They decided this must be his true character. And they did it based on circumstantial evidence that they could see with their eyes and based on their own theological ideas about God. Their ideas that God always punishes the wicked and that the good people will always prosper. But the reality is, and we know that this is true, that there are godly people that do suffer tragedy at times, who go through very difficult seasons in their lives, who are falsely accused at times. And so life doesn't go like a bed of roses for everyone who's godly. And the wicked sometimes prosper. We know this. Even David said it in the Psalms. Why did the wicked prosper? How come they who have done wicked things, murdered people, stolen from the poor, oppressed the orphan and the widow, look like they're prospering in this life? So Job's friend's theology that God would always punish the wicked in this lifetime and would always bless the righteous in this lifetime wasn't necessarily completely accurate. And based on their somewhat erroneous theology, they passed judgment on Job that was completely wrong. And I want to talk to you about this issue of judging people. We see the pain that it caused Job. Think about it. He is in a horrible state of circumstances, and his supposed friends come and begin to accuse him of being some secret villain, some secretly wicked, horrible person who's just getting his just desserts through these calamities that he's experiencing. Can you imagine what pain that added to Job's life, hearing those words like knives stabbing his heart when he has lived his whole life trying to walk in a godly relationship with other people and with the Lord himself? To have someone come and say, well, you must be secretly one of the most wicked people on the earth. You must be so greedy. You must be so horrible to oppress people that this has all now come upon you. And imagine the pain that those wrong judgments made by those men against Job. How painful, how hurtful, how crushing they must have been to Job. And I'm bringing this up because we are instructed in the Word of God in the New Testament to be people who do not judge others. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, or do not judge, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. We see this very clear word of Jesus. Don't make judgments. You will not make right judgments. If you judge based on what you see with your eyes, you will make wrong judgments. We know this. How often in our own lifetimes have we looked at a circumstance and thought, ooh, I know what's going on there. And then time goes by and you're proved to be completely wrong, that judgment you made was completely wrong and things were not as they appeared. You know, a wise person once told me, things are rarely as they appear, and that you cannot make judgments based on what you see with your natural eyes. Jesus warned us as to believers, to his people. He said, do not judge people. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Refrain from doing it. And then in the book of Romans, I love this scripture. In Romans 14, verse 13, it says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. That is a very profound statement. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now think about it. These supposed friends of Job absolutely put a stumbling block in Job's way. They were stumbling him by their words. They were putting a stumbling block or a cause to fall in their brother's way by making these false accusations, these false judgments against him, so that he was being tempted to be absolutely angry, hateful towards those who are making the judgments. That's a stumbling block. When you put a temptation to sin to somebody else in front of them, a temptation to be angry, a temptation to become bitter, a temptation to become hopeless, despairing, the things God tells us not to ever be. When you put that stumbling block in front of somebody else, you're sinning against that person. And here we see Job experiencing this very thing. His friends put a stumbling block in his way, falsely accusing him, making a wrong judgment against him because they judged with their natural minds. They used their natural minds to assess his situation. They did not hear from God about this. This was their own assessment with their natural carnal mind thinking, looking at his circumstances and going, well, he must have sinned. That's just the bottom line. He must have sinned. He must be secretly wicked. He's got all this secret hidden sin in his life, and that's why all this stuff is happening in his life. Their assessment was completely based on fleshly thinking, carnal thinking, ungodly thinking. And because it was, they put a stumbling block in front of their brother Job and tempted him sorely to be angry, to be bitter, to become resentful, to absolutely sin again back at them for what they were saying to him. And that was a sin on their part. In fact, when we get to the end of the book of Job, you will see that God himself rebuked those friends and said, you did not say rightly about my servant Job. He told him, you were wrong. You wrongly judged him. Now you apologize to him. Isn't that interesting? God does not appreciate people making wrong judgments against other believers. Now, we have an issue in our generation, in our day, where people are accusing one another, supposed believers, people who say they are Christians, speaking evil, making accusations, making judgments on the radio, on television, in the media of all forms, against other believers. It's completely contrary to scripture. I don't care how guilty the person looks. The scripture tells us judge not lest you be judged. Leave all of that to God. Let God be the judge. He is the judge. He's the perfect judge. He sees people's hearts, not just what is on the outward appearance or outward circumstances that we can see as humans. And the Word of God exhorts us in Romans, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I just want to encourage you today, be very mindful of this scripture. Be mindful of the pain it inflicted on Job when those men wrongly accused him. Be mindful of how painful it would be if you made a wrong judgment of any person, Christian or non-Christian, with your words, with your mind. If you are tempted to make a judgment, just say, Lord, I put this in your hands. You know the heart of all men. I pray for that person. I ask you to give them grace and help. Turn a situation where you are tempted to judge your brother, your sister, your pastor, some fellow Christian, some non-believer, somebody you read about in the newspaper. When you are tempted to go down the road of judging that person as being evil, wicked, wrong, whatever, say, God, forgive me. I refuse to judge. You are the judge. Be the judge. And I pray, oh God, you'd give that person grace to do what is right in your sight. Be a person who just comes into agreement with the Word of God, and it says, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I just encourage you today, make a resolution with the help of God and by the grace of God that you're going to be a person who remains judgment-free. You're not going to judge anyone. You're going to leave the judgment to the Lord Himself. That way you can walk in love toward all people, and you will be a person who's walking in the Spirit of God, who is love. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow for day 9 of My Everyday Bible. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.